Okay, thank you. Well, first, also to thank the organizers, no, for this nice meeting. And yeah, so the idea I want to present is, well, it's simple. So it's, we would like to consider a Polanyi-like model in string theory and wonder what kind of global dynamics can induce in globally consistent models, no? So, we want superpotentials, basically, which are linear in some field. And well, the motivation for consider this kind of superpotentials in string theory is multiple. First of all, the most clear one is supersymmetry breaking. If one has just this superpotential, there will be clearly an F term associated to this field, and supersymmetry will be broken. So one of the main motivations, and actually it has been considered well by different groups, many people here, like Miriam, well, Timo Weigand, and also by Heckman, Joe Marzano, coupling this kind of fields to some visible, well, to some field charged under the visible sector, so that one can induce models of gauge mediation in string theory, right? So one has this superpotential in the hidden sector. Now this superpotential, as Gary Hsu was reviewing last week, couples to some superpotential coupling to some other operator or other field, which communicates with the visible sector via gauge interaction. So then one has some model of gauge supersymmetry breaking within string theory. So generically, in a concrete model, one will not have this superpotential, but rather things like set of fields which get a linear term and other fields which couple to these linear terms. So well, there will be a rank condition, which was pointed out by Saber, Intelligator, and C. So basically, if these functions are generic, that is, there are no correlations between the zeros of these functions, and the number of fields which appear just linearly in the superpotential is bigger than the number of fields which couple to them, then in principle one expects supersymmetry to be broken. But even if this condition or one of these conditions is not satisfied, so supersymmetry is restored by getting a BEP of these fields, it still is quite interesting problem, because in that case,
see, those are global conditions,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, there's always, things could be changed if you're in the domain when you cannot decouple supergravity.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the analysis is more more tricky. I'm assuming Minkowski. So if somehow the Keller potential doesn't enter into the game, but as you say, if you go to an anti-de-Sitter and you have also gravity, the analysis is more involved. So I agree. But well, in the class of models that I will focus later on, which are toroidal models, yeah, well, seems some of the, I mean, if you go to anti-de-Sitter, in order to have something, some stable vacuum, you need all the moduli somehow to be sourced in the superpotential. And this definitely doesn't happen for the models I will consider. So, or there is a supersymmetric vacuum, which is Minkowski, or a non-supersymmetric vacuum, which is something like no scale or something like that. Or otherwise, the model would be unstable. It would develop runaway directions along the Keller model. But well, later on will be more clear, I think. Well, so if supersymmetry is restored, and these fields getting a BEP, as I say, still I think it's quite interesting problem in the sense that now you have some scalar potential for all these fields, and this can lead to can be useful for many problems. In general, in for instance, in string theory models, in deep brain models, these fields will be open string deformations, or moduli of open strings. So then this kind of scalar potentials can be useful for moduli stabilization. Open string moduli. Also in setups of deep brain inflation, yesterday we saw a talk on, well, it was a different construction, but there has been also well, a lot of push into the field of deep brain inflation, where the inflaton is just some open string moduli parametrizing some distance between deep brains. So this kind of potentials can generate richer landscape of dynamics to be considered in these models. And moreover, well, from the point of view of the field theory, these fields getting a BEP parametrized just Higgsing of some gauge symmetries. So generically, if supersymmetry is not broken, if supersymmetry is restored, gauge supersymmetry will be broken. So it can be also a useful mechanism for gauge symmetry breaking of hidden sectors. So yeah, these are the main motivations that we had to look for this. Yes, so generically.
Depends if those fields carry any gauge charges from surviving gauge.
Well, these fields, in this context of different models, if they are open string fields, there can be basically two kinds of fields, right? It can be adjoints, moduli parametrizing distance between brains, then you. Gauge symmetry breaking without rank reduction, right? You split two brains into a stack of two brains into two separate brains, right? So you have like U2 to U1 times U1. But also can be recombination moduli. So it can be, for instance, I will show a non-chiral model on which you have bifundamental, anti-bifundamental. And this gets this appears here. This is a function of this operator. This gets a BEP in the minimum and parametrizes the recombination of two fractional brains into a bulk brain. So in that case, then you have a true Higgs mechanism for rank reduction and so on. But well, I hope it will be more clear with the.
I mean, one thing is that this G is generated by instanton effects, right? And it depends on this charge modulus associated with the position of the cycles.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But it also introduces Philopoulos terms as well. So it's a couple things. Mm. And here you're talking about what we would call naively charge sector fields of the brains, right? By fundamental.
Well, this is definitely a charge field, but these fields, I would say are rather adjoints rather than fundamentals, or adjoining the sense that also can be operators made of by fundamentals and things like that. But the total operator transforming the adjoining representation.
Maybe you'll show us something.
Yeah, sure.
So, but you expect the fields psi to be only charged under the hidden sector and not under the visible sector, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, in principle, the scale of the breaking will go a very high scale.
They are just
I'm just
all hidden sector fields.
Just focus on this sector. If you want, I will not talk about any model of gauge mediation, or I will not have any visible sector. Just focusing on this sector. Somehow, what kind of dynamics one has induced by this kind of superpotentials, and whether one breaks supersymmetry or one breaks gauge symmetry. And in a very concrete class of models, to make a very general statement is difficult in this context. Okay, so well, as Miriam was saying, in string theory, this kind of operators, this kind of superpotentials will be generated by instants. Basically, this is a charged field with some U1 charge, which generically will be massive due to the Green-Schwarz mechanism, so it's a global symmetry. But under U1 transformation of this global symmetry, it will get a phase, and therefore this phase has to be cancelled in some way. So generically, we will have some closed string modulus, which is the volume modulus of the instanton. Instanton will be D-brain wrapping. So the instanton will be Euclidean brain wrapping T plus one cycle in the internal space. And well, same field theory, one has to integrate over the would be moduli space of the instanton. And in this context, the moduli space is just all the modes which are charged under the instanton gauge group. So the contribution to the effective action in four dimensions will be an integral over this moduli space. This moduli space, for supersymmetric cases, will contain, among other things, the n equals 1 supercoordinates, so the four translational modes and dynamic superpartners. Then one has the exponential of the instanton action. The leading term will be just the instanton gauge coupling, so the volume of the cycle which the instanton is wrapping. And then one has the integral over the remaining modes of the moduli space and terms in the instanton action, which depend on this moduli. So in string theory, the landscape of instantons, in principle, is richer than in field theory. One has quantum field theory instantons, and these are usually when there are scalar modes which are charged under both instanton gauge group and gauge group in four dimensions of the four-dimensional field theory. So in that case, get the usual like, well, now this is just the gauge coupling of the four-dimensional theory, so one. So an example of this would be, for instance, Euclidean five brain, so five brain wrapping the entire volume on top of a stack of D9 brains. But apart from this quantum field theory instantons, in string theory there appear other instanton effects which in principle doesn't admit an obvious interpretation in field theory. And well, these are the so-called O1 instantons that were developed well in the last 2-3 years by people here, Miriam, Ralph, Timo Weigand, also Ibanez and Uranga. And the effect of these instantons in the four-dimensional theory is basically to introduce couplings which are perturbatively forbidden. So in particular, this kind of superpotential will be generated by this type of instantons in the sense that this term in the superpotential wouldn't be invariant under global U1 transformations. So the generic moduli space of this type of instantons in the neutral sector, that is the moduli fields which are only charged under the gauge group of the instanton and nothing else, one just has the n equals 1. Whereas in the so-called charged sector, that is fields in the moduli space which are not only charged under the instanton gauge group but also under some D-brain gauge group, one has only spin 1/2 field which has to be soaked in the integral. Otherwise, since they are Grassmannian numbers, when one integrates over these fields, one would get a zero contribution. So, so in that way, once basically here one will have some operator which depends on fermionic modes appearing here, plus some other fields which lie at the intersection between the other brains and required in order this operator to be gauge invariant. And once one integrates over the moduli space, one will get this operator depending on charged fields times the leading term of the instanton action, the moduli independent part.
What's the fermion?
And they are the two fermionic super coordinates of n equals 1.
But alpha is just 1? Alpha prime is 2?
Yeah, it's 1 and 2 if you want.
One quick question. So do you have scalar partners for the spin 1/2 charged
modes? No, because the spectrum is non-supersymmetric, because, well, these are not physical modes. So even if the theory is supersymmetric, but these modes somehow you should think as moduli of the instanton which are integrated out. And once you integrate out, everything else is supersymmetric.
But you still generate a superpotential term.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Can you say again what this field 5 is and
what
it 1?
Sorry? Okay. This field. So when so you have to saturate these fermionic modes, right, in the integral, because otherwise it will be zero. So you start making insertions here of fermionic modes, and now since these modes come from some coupling in the instanton action and it has to be gauge invariant, it will require in general to include other fields in other sectors of the theory. So once you integrate over the moduli of the instanton, you will just get some coupling, effective superpotential, times this term. So now if you perform a U1 global transformation, you have that due to the Green-Schwarz mechanism, this transforms in this way. So the phase that this operator gets, because it carries a U1 charge, gets cancelled with the transformation of the exponential. So the whole thing is invariant.
Maybe I should comment at this point, because actually there is a notion of supersymmetry in the zero-mode sector of instantons as well. It's just quantum mechanics.
Mm-hmm. But the spectrum
so
is...
So this one could view maybe probably this lambda mode. Yeah.
That's why it doesn't make scale-up lambda, because it's plus 1.
Yeah, because this one lower.
Oh, okay.
There is a notion, you know, you don't want to break supersymmetry in your instanton action to begin with, right? You want to generate it spontaneously by introducing matter couplings. Anyway, so there is a notion, it's not well understood, and you try very hard to identify the actual supersymmetry action, the zero mode sector of instantons.
Two supercharges and a multiple charge more.
This would be like short multiplets, just with lambda, yeah. But would be great to understand that better.
Yeah, so we would like to generate in this way this kind of couplings. So there are several possibilities. One thing is, well, we have U1 times U1 sector in the theory with some equals one chiral multiple transforming in the bifundamental. And then we have the instanton with gauge U01. And using this language of quivers, which perhaps is more visual. So if there are zero modes started under both the U1 and the O1, each of the U1s, then one can write a Yukawa coupling in the instanton action. General will depend on different fields. This is the instanton action. Over the moduli space, and then basically one would get the desired superpotential for this field by fundamental. Similarly, one can consider the same setup in orbifold models, identifold models, where these two U1s can be identified under some discrete symmetry. So for instance, one can have just U1, a single U1, instanton, some field transforming in the symmetric representation, and two fermionic zero modes. And again, this will induce some linear term effective superpotential for the symmetric field. Finally, one can have a U2 field, a symmetric field. Sorry, with just one mode in this case. Linear term. So in general, one can generate linear terms only for lower rank gauge loops, because otherwise, one integrates. I mean, otherwise these charged fields are not are vectors. I mean, they have all the degrees of freedom of the UN theory, and when you integrate out, you will get a higher order operator. One important point to notice is that in global models, in general, there will not be just one instanton, since there are many singularities in the model where the instanton can reside. So when instead of just this thing, we have over all the instantons in the model, or over all the instanton configurations in the model. Well, now this alpha runs over all the instantons. So yes, I was saying in deep brain models, generically, this will be open string fields, open string moduli, which can be recombination fields or can be adjoint fields, and also a complex structure will appear in the Yukawa coupling of the instanton.
It's hard to see that because it's in the shade of the screen.
Ah, sorry. Yeah. I'll write it again.
Right, a little lower.
Here is okay. Why? Think of it.
Isn't there also some coefficient also in its own result?
Here you mean? Yeah. Well, depends. I'm assuming it's just a single instanton. If it's a Gugino condensate, here you would have, right? So.
No, I don't mean the sum over all the instantons. You're talking something about different instantons.
It's different instantons, yeah. And here you can have generically, so the T, since it's untwisted modulus, will be the same for every field. Generically, this instanton will couple also to the blow-up moduli, and this coupling will be different for different instantons depending on which position they are. So you will have something like that. But here we are working in the orbifold, we will work in the orbifold limit, so this moduli are.
So you're in type 2B, you're doing Brinzen singularities, or are you doing type 1?
No, well, for the time being, I've been just kind of generic, no? And then I will focus in toroidal orbifold models with magnetized or intersecting brains. So you can think of type 1 with magnetized brains, or type 2A with intersecting brains. So when I say summing overall, instanton configurations, I mean only one single type of instanton, but this instanton can have many configurations in the sense of different positions in the internal space or different configurations of discrete Wilson lines. So one has to sum over all the possibilities and consider the contribution.
My confusion is, are you talking about you take a particular cycle, right, by instanton?
Yeah.
Which will pretty much fix this classical part of the action. Mm-hmm. Then you're looking at Z2 images, you know, you're summing over all
No, not really easy to. So imagine you have something like a set 2 times set 2, right? With singularities. And well, basically, this is when we consider explicit examples, this will be the kind of setup that we consider. So a set 2 times set 2 in discrete torsion. So let's say there is a rigid cycle here, right? Exotic O5 plane wrapping the receptor. So it's an O5 plane with positive charge and tension. And basically, every Euclidean one brain wrapping the full T2 and localizing one of the singularities in the transverse space will be a O1 instanton and will give a contribution to the superpotential. But now there are many possibilities. First, you can choose between placing the instanton here, 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 the different singularities. Also, the different choice for the discrete Wilson line, the wall volume of the instanton, and also the Chan pattern chart of the instanton. So in general, all of these instantons will be at the same time present in the compactification, and all of them will be contributing to the superpotential. So one has to sum over in a global setup. One has
that's to. In type 2B language.
That's in type 2B. Yeah. Type 2A would be, well, the different positions of the D6 brains and the different discrete Wilson lines in the world volume of the E2 instanton.
You're saying that the classical part of this instanton action is always the same for each of these choices, you're saying?
No.
This is
always the same because it's an untwisted modulus.
It's probably this two torus volume.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So it's exactly that's because nice. it's always all the configurations are wrapping the right the same two torus. If you want, you can split no between the volume, which will be always the same, and then the transverse configurations of the instanton, which I put in this part. Yeah?
The instanton is stuck at the singularities in the first two parts?
Yeah.
So you start blowing up, does it get?
If you start blowing up, well, this part will contribute, so each instanton will couple to different blow-up modules because they are localized at different singularities. So this will get a BEV, but then the analysis is, not manageable at this level, right?
And this example, for example, the function Y that you write in there, what will it be?
Sorry?
The function Y that...
Yeah, the Yukawa. It will depend on the blow-up module. Yeah, I don't know. Probably. I mean, all the scenario I will consider will be always orbiform models where you have a well-defined CFT. And these kind of things actually are computed in that limit, so you don't see the dependence on the blow-up module. In principle, they could depend. I don't see why not. So, yeah, outside the orbiform point, the analysis would be completely different, but I don't think there are the tools required for that analysis. Okay, so I will consider, as I just mentioned, no, a toroidal orbital models with magnetized intersecting . So I will introduce some basic notation. Please stop me as much as you want. It's clear, the most important thing. Thank you.
by some
or before action. And in the type 1 language, we will have magnetized benign brains with magnetization among each of the given brain. Tau is the complex structure of the corresponding torus. Some numbers. This in the mirror, these 6 brains will translate to several stacks of these 6 brains wrapping 3 cycles in the internal space, and the magnetization numbers, these integers here, will translate to the wrapping numbers along each of the TP. Basically, for each T2 in the language of D6 brain, a brain can wrap several times the T2 in one direction, and okay, the number of times which the D6 wraps the torus in that direction, the number of times it wraps it in the other direction, to get a more geometric picture. But I will mostly work on this picture here of type 1 compatibility.
Is there any reason why you consider factorizable torus?
Sorry?
Is there any reason why you consider factorizable torus?
Well, somehow in this context it will be in toroidal models, because if you want to have magnetized brains or intersecting brains, and you want to have O1 instantons, so you need rigid cycles, I think the only way to do it is to have discrete torsion. So this thing has to have some set 2 times set 2 action with discrete torsion. At least all the known examples are like that. And this set 2 times set 2 action will precisely project out all the off diagonal parts.
Well, but the torus does not need to be really factorizable, right?
Well, after the set 2 times set 2, it will kill, right, all the moduli which are not in the T2 times T2 times T2 part, right? They are projected out by the set 2 times set 2.
It's simplest.
It's simplest, yeah, but in general, it could be actually not addressable, right?
Well, I don't know.
But that would involve complicated
cycles,
and
that's
very involved. So one
steps to Stefan's version. Well, I don't know of any other
example like that. I think the torus doesn't need to be factorizable. The two plus the two action is consistent also with the non-factorizable torus, but that's medium of saying.
Yeah.
I mean, this one is much simpler to deal with, to identify the cycles and to draw the brains.
Okay. So, well, before acting with the orbifold action, the Gates group will be just a study of Gates groups. And the spectrum will consist of n equals 4 vector multiplets associated to each of the stacks. And then there will be also fields localized at the intersection between different sectors charged under both sectors. And depending on the angles of the D-brains or the magnetization numbers, they will preserve a higher or lower supersymmetry. Here we will consider the case of n equals 1 supersymmetric compactification. So there will be n equals 1 chiral multiplex. That's what we call my, okay, so between sectors A and B. They are IAB of them, where IAB is just the intersection number, the number of, in the D6 brain language, the number of times with the two brains intersecting the internal torus, which is given by this expression. Okay. So, well, as I was saying, in order to have O1 instantons in this context, one has to consider also cases on which orbifold action contains some discrete torsion. So what we would like to do and what follows is basically to compute this function in this kind of models where there is a CFT available, and therefore one can compute explicitly this expression and this function here, and then analyze the dynamics in this class of models.
So do you have a concrete local model?
Yeah.
But you just focus on some relatively trivial gauge, but we are not interested in Carl's sector standard model or anything.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And it's also difficult, you know, to achieve phenomenologically nice models in cases where you have discrete torsion, right? This, in toroidal models, there are like two big groups, models with discrete torsion, which they have a rich structure of non-perturbative effects, but they are not so nice for phenomenology, and models without discrete torsion, which are more nicer for phenomenology, but they don't have O1 instantons on it. So we want to compute this superpotential.
Oh, just name for most people know that anyway, but cycles have to be rigid.
Yeah.
Have O1 instantons. It's one for.
Yeah, basically.
Torsion, you cannot make cycles rigid.
That's basically the translated in the spectrum.
Those are visions from more than NASA.
It's because of the generation to the periodic zeros.
Yes, diffeomorphism zero modes, and if they are there in the action, they would not come, you know, you have to soak them up somehow. So for this purpose of getting Coulombi type, non-perturbative superpotential, we don't see how to look them. We have to have fluxes that could then freeze some of this diffeomorphism module, but it gets messy.
But basically, that's the geometric interpretation of the spectrum that I was putting before. So in order to get that spectrum, if you want to think in geometrical terms, you need a rigid rigid cycle.
So a fluxed cycle is
actually, we looked at fluxes, supergravity fluxes in the background, directly, not just on the brain. I don't think that was key.
You know, if a flux through the cycle.
I understand.
I mean, flux on the brain, and flux, the integrated flux through the cycle that you're trying to freeze has to be not zero.
Okay. Yes, I think that has a meaning. Yeah. I'm thinking more in type 2A pictures, so I'm not magnetizing them, okay? So there you would associate, you know, yeah, flux on the brain becomes specific angle of the cycle, right, by brain. Indeed, you are free, I mean, magnetized picture, probably you're freezing precisely moduli associated with the flux on the cycle. And in type 2A, its modulus associated with shifting a cycle, you know, moving a cycle.
But definitely you shouldn't freeze the P modulus, I mean the volume modulus of the cycle, because you will destroy the shift. proximity, right? It's precisely required in order to generate this kind of.
So in time two, you're talking about, I guess, Lagrangian cycles.
Yeah, special Lagrangians, yeah.
What sort of flux do you use to freeze this?
Super, the background, supergravity flux on the doors. You're still looking, yeah, it is a supergravity.
What's that, what's the mean supergravity?
The closest thing, flux, background for the Ramon flux.
Yeah.
But that was more which Ramon, like.
Well, I don't know if there are explicit.
They're even flux, four forms.
Yeah.
Zero four already.
Probably depends very much on the. Depends very much probably on the details of the model. Also the probably you have to turn on the Neverswap to form also on a platform.
But still you can do it by preserving supersymmetry. They are fluxes at one mass of supersymmetry, and yet they would give, they would freeze those diffeomorphisms.
They generate like new terms in the superpotential.
It's actually relatively easy to do that. What's hard to do is if it's not, you know, or one instanton in the sense that it's invariant under oriented polar action, then you have this troublesome tau bar modes. And those are hard to freeze with fluxes without breaking smoothly, but that was the point, right?
If the special Lagrangian is rigid, you can just freeze the lines.
Then you don't have diffeomorphism moduli, right? Then all this discussion about freezing non-rigid modulus associated with non-rigidity of cycle is irrelevant.
Sure.
This is already so. So, but if you go in the context of orbifold with torsion, it turns out that they are rigid cycles on which you put instantons, so all this issue is much relevant to discuss.
Well, anyway. So, yeah, we want to compute, no, this kind of potentials implicitly in these models. So, more precisely,
so what model do you have?
What model
do
I have?
What is the global model?
Well,
you told us about orbifolds, but where do you put phis?
So, the models that I will focus later on will be just Z2 times Z2 with discrete torsion. And, well, perhaps I should give it at the end, I think, otherwise it will be too fast. So very sketchy what one wants to compute. Is the Yukawa coupling of the instanton, which is just a disk amplitude insertion of field, and the two charged fields of the instanton. This is the brain A and brain B. And then there will be
one instanton, so I see you running in
that. Yeah.
Area.
Yeah, we'll, well,
so
for the time being
picture, yeah.
You can put EP brain. But I will focus in type one, as I say. So it will be E1 or E5. Then there will be one loop corrections to the instanton action, which will be annulus stretching between the instanton and different brains in the setup. The G function would come from both. Here would be the Yukawa coupling plus one loop
corrections to
it. Would be all this thing.
Earlier work were done just with the disk diagrams, right? It was the mini group the field is, you get properly holomorphic coupling, there is instant on calculus, one loop calculations, and that's just important. And then indeed, this coupling that you use is holomorphic.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, so...
Can I ask a stupid question? Are there heterotic duals?
Heterotic duals, in general, will be non-perturbative, in the sense that generically you will have also Lie-5 branch charges, which translate into NS5 charges in the heterotic side. And generally non-geometric as well, asymmetric orbifolds and things like that, asymmetric shifts and things like that. One can find some examples sometimes on which there are duals where you don't induce denying brain charges, but definitely not in, for instance, this kind of discrete torsion models, because you really need to induce D5 brain charges in order to cancel the tadpole. So models, for instance, with a free axion in the type 1 side, they will not have O5 planes, and this you can translate into a heterotic dual, which is still perturbative. Okay, so I'll go with the sketching on this part. So the Yukawa coupling basically has been computed some years ago by different groups in conformal field theory and field theory by Miriam and Papadimitriou, also Cremades, Ibáñez, and Marchesano, and also able collaborators. And the computation for instantons basically follows the same. There are just some differences. Well, first the normalization of the instanton zero modes, which appear in the physical Yukawa, cancel with one contribution. This is somehow expected, since these modes are no longer physical, so they do not carry kinetic terms, and therefore they shouldn't have any contribution from the Keller potential. What it was also different context before. And in general, the fields which appear in the disk amplitude in the D-brain Yukawa coupling will get redefinitions by the open string moduli. There will be some prefactors which are non-holomorphic, which will be absorbed into redefinitions of the chiral fields appearing in the Yukawa. This is for D-brains. Now, two of the fermions which appear in the Yukawa are no longer physical, and therefore the redefinition, instead of being associated to a redefinition of this mode, will be corresponding rather to a redefinition of the closed string moduli which appear here. It's similar to what happens to the U1 global charge. This fermions here originally carry some U1 charge, but after integrating over them, the U1 charge will be rather absorbed in closed string modulus. So very sketchy, the Yukawa coupling is something like then some non-holomorphic stuff times some holomorphic. So this part of the holomorphic stuff will go into a redefinition of the chiral field, and part will be into a redefinition of this thing. So well, to make it more concrete, I will just put implicit expression one gets. These are discrete parameters which precisely parameterize the positions of the instanton and the configuration of discrete Wilson lines.
Actually calculate this coupling completely, which is physical coupling at the end in the effective action. And then you take some of it properly by putting into correction to killer potential.
Yeah.
And well, some becomes now correction to super potential. I'm confused a bit what you're saying about this redefinition.
Because I don't think part of it is, as you say, coming from the killer potential, but part of it is a true redefinition in the sense of, well, perhaps, of course, no? I mean, in the presence of open stream moduli, the closed stream moduli and open stream moduli spaces are fiber, one over the other. And the variables which should appear in holomorphically in the superpotential are no longer just made of closed stream fields, but a mixture of closed stream and open stream. One simple model of that is, well, you consider T4 over set 2 with T9 brains and D5 brains. You will find that after dimensional reduction and looking at the bone infill action, that basically the fields which has to appear holomorphically in the superpotential are something like the closed string usual modulus times where these are the Wilson line moduli of T9 brains along the transverse T4. And this is the holomorphic variable that has to appear in the superpotential. So they are both things. Part of the factors will be just the Keller potential, the Keller normalization of this field. But also there will be contributions, non-holomorphic in the open stream moduli, which come truly from the fact of having both the spaces fiber each other. So, in particular, one can use this kind of computations to read what are the redefinitions of closed stream moduli in these magnetized brain models, and what you obtain something like. Generalization of the expression that I put before, which was worked out in the 90s by Antonialis and Laureto. But now this is all the D5 brain charges present in the model. It can be induced, for instance, by the magnetization. So here there will appear all the magnetization numbers giving D5 brain charges. And well, similar expression for the Keller modulus, where what appears again are all the charges which intersect the cycle associated to T. So D9 brain charges and D5 brains which intersect this cycle. Okay, so well, this is just very sketchy how one can compute this function here for instantons and express it in terms of holomorphic variables in the context of compactifications with also open stream moduli. And this part here was pointed out also by this, the previous groups that we mentioned. is related to the threshold corrections to a gauge kinetic function of a D-brain in the wrapping the would be cycle of the instanton. So this is also easy to compute in field theory. So in that way, one obtains a full expression for this coupling in terms of theta functions and well, the discrete parameters of the instanton enters and also the different moduli, open stream moduli of the D-brains and also closed stream moduli. And well, I will not put the expression because it's quite big, but well, one would like now to look for zeros of this expression, no? To look for if they are supersymmetric vacua of this expression. This is just the physical term, so one would look would like to look for zeros of it.
So now you have explicit holomorphic expression, right?
Exactly.
In terms of this crystal line moduli, closed sector mm-hmm. modulus, and this field phi. Right?
There are several checks that one can do.
Now, are you going to look at the full minimization of potential?
No, just zeros of the F term. Assuming Minkowski.
In the global case.
In Minkowski, I would say. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, the point is, you know, you also get Keeler potential correction. Yeah.
Yeah, but well, as I was saying before, in this.
You want to look at the global case and look at the zeros or derivatives of W.
I would say, well, in this model, I would say is the complete answer in the following sense. Well, for Minkowski vacua, you agree, no? That would be
no. The term too. Not just that, because this T hat field is charged under anomalous ones, and so is this phi. And you really have to look at if that direction.
But this is a supersymmetric configuration of brains, right? So there will not be.
True. No, T hat is dynamic.
Not sure. I mean, also T in principle will be after.
You're minimizing with respect to T, or you're leaving
no.
T there?
No, I'm minimizing with respect to
F5. And what else?
And that's enough to obtain a full supersymmetric vacuum, because then this thing will be zero. So automatically, FT will be also zero. I mean, all the F terms will vanish completely, right? Because basically, this superpotential, if I take FT, mm-hmm. equals zero, basically saying that this coefficient is zero, and since T doesn't enter here, that's enough. Otherwise, also one argument to see what, well, maybe the analysis in that case is more complicated, but one argument.
I don't want to.
Yeah, sure.
But the thing is, you probably have to look at the whole supergravity thing.
No, I mean.
You can be in the regime of Babs, where supergravity part matters, and it's much more complex than ours. You know, the original Polonyi minimization, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need it to be in supergravity.
Yeah, well, again, this is supergravity, but just looking for Minkowski minima, if you want. Okay. I'm not saying that there cannot be anti de Sitter mm-hmm. minima.
Yeah, Polonyi put an extra constant there. We were tuning supergravity.
Again, for Minkowski minima, you agree for Minkowski vacua, you agree that is enough to look for zeros of this F term, if this doesn't depend on T, right?
If this is all you have.
Yeah, that's all right.
The superpotential is all you have if you have no clustering fluxes. And
yeah, I have nothing else. That's the full model, let's say. If you have other ingredients, of course, the dynamic can change and so on. And also, if you go to anti de Sitter, it's more complicated. Although still, I think in this model, since in anti de Sitter you need all the moduli to be stabilized, otherwise you have runaway directions, and the Keller potential, and the Keller moduli doesn't enter here in this function. Well,
Could you please repeat why the deterrents are not important?
Well, again, so I don't see how do you generate a D-term in this case. I mean, if you wouldn't have this superpotential, the model is completely supersymmetric, right? So, and there is no stabilization.
F-terms, right? Yeah. So if the F-terms are zero, D-terms are automatically zero.
What are you talking about?
A D-term is a contraction of F-terms with Hilbert spinner, filling vectors, divided by the superpotential.
But that's, I think, for anti-DC, but when you have some cosmology.
Just a general supergravity.
Yeah, but he has W, you have W equals zero.
Well, zero, exactly.
So, yeah.
So it's just proportional to the variation of the Keeler
function. Sure, sure.
Yeah, but the Keeler function is highly non-trivial here because T-field is actually, in supergravity language, linear supermultiply.
Yeah.
It's charged, as you said yourself, under this U1 symmetries.
Yeah.
So you have a D term that involves by a Leopold's term due to that this T field introduces.
Yeah, okay.
And phi field is also charged, right? So there is a couple, so there's a D term that is by Leopold's term, which is specific function of T, some second derivative of Keeler potential.
Yeah, I see, but
and phi.
But if this function here is zero, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then T is completely a flat direction up to supersymmetric condition, right? In the supersymmetric condition, it will enter T, which is basically the same, no? That you are saying. So the supersymmetric condition will put some constraint on the kind of T that you can have. Once you satisfy, there are no D terms, right? Because it's supersymmetric configuration. And at this point, when this is zero, basically you don't have on cell any superpotential. So in Minkowski, that will be enough. I agree that in anti-de-Sitter, the analysis is more involved because it's not just looking at the zero of this function, but...
Yeah, I hear you. It makes sense, yeah, what you're saying. This is sufficient. And T and phi will adjust themselves to keep it flat somehow, right?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
F flatness is just zero G.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So for Minkowski Bakwa, if you consider supersymmetric configurations of the brains and you don't have any extra ingredient in the model, just this kind of things, no? Because we are just considering global models, so other ingredients will also contribute to the tadpoles and things like that, and can change quite a lot.
So you're looking for zeros of G to ensure F sub phi equals zero.
Exactly.
But of course, you have to, shouldn't you ensure also F sub T and F sub
G?
But
F of T,
yeah,
will be proportional also to, since T doesn't appear in this function,
okay,
will be proportional again to this function, so it will be zero again.
Okay.
So all the terms will be...
I'm looking, no, that's fine. But how about G, derivatives of this G, which is back to the moduli that also have to ensure zeros?
It will turn out that, derivative of G with respect to
whatever other open sector module I have there in this function.
Well, this should be also zero, although we didn't check explicitly. I mean, the complex structure module is the only thing that appears. But since this is like the same function that in Ayukawa coupling, that would mean that with Ayukawa coupling you can get a non-trivial F-term for a complex structure model, which is non-true, right, in a toroidal model. You don't get the stabilization of the complex structure model with the Yukawa coupling and intersecting the brains.
Maybe you should tell us what is actually by insisting on F sub phi zero, right? What does that do to your
moduli,
complex structure
moduli? Yeah, so...
Actually, you may be able to stabilize complex structure moduli in this way.
With only the Yukawa coupling?
Not Yukawa coupling, but these kind of things sometimes.
Well, for us, what we found is that once you impose let's say that you minimize this, you get this condition by giving a vector to this open string fields, then tau are just flat directions. You have a zero cosmological constant, and tau is flat direction. So in that sense, there is no F term associated to, there will be no F term associated to tau. Otherwise, you would have some potential, right, for tau.
But
it,
I guess if you include the
Kellogg
potential,
you're not included. Well, here you're not included, but here this is the full thing. Right? This is the physical term. So
but
here it contains.
But now we're talking about effective action of matter fields, and so I think what Constantine is saying that now if you look at the supergravity version, the potential dependence of this physical module I know may help you somehow.
I mean, there are two parts, right, where the Keller potential may enter. One is in the normalization of the field. This is contained here. So one can look at the physical F term and see if it's a flat direction or not, and this we did. And the other thing is in the covariant derivatives, there will be K times W, right? But for Minkowski vacua, that is what we are taking here, we are taking W equal to zero, this term will not play any role. So they are really two minima. And well, and actually, as you will see, they have the usual interpretation of Ganor of generating extra zero modes in between the instanton and the D brain. So it's expected that they are really supersymmetric minima in those positions. So there are two possibilities to get a zero of this F term. One is zero of disk amplitude, the Yukawa coupling, and the other is a zero of the one loop corrections, right? So the Yukawa coupling disk contribution will depend on the moduli of the magnetized brains. And this also includes recombination moduli. So very sketchy, one can have situations in which one starts with two fractional brains based on a singularity, and suppose that these two brains can recombine because they carry opposite twisted charge, so they have some non-chiral operators which can get a bend. The Yukawa will depend on this operator, and after recombination, the two brains became a bulk brain, and therefore it can move in order to minimize this area, which is just the disk amplitude. Right? The other possibility is just zeros of one loop contribution, which in this context will depend on the moduli of non-magnetized brains, so brains which can be parallel to the instanton along some direction, and therefore when they sit on top of the instanton, they will generate extra fermionic zero modes, and the integral will vanish. No? And this kind of phenomena was pointed out by Ganor in the 96. But notice that the analysis of the zeros is, in this global context, quite involved, because it is not enough to look just to a single term, but to the sum of all the contributions. So it may happen sometimes that there are cases on which each term is non-vanishing, but the sum of all of the contributions is vanishing. So, well, we consider like several explicit models in this context. Perhaps the end is one. So, yeah, let's say 56 times 2 with discrete torsion, with O5 plus planes wrapping the third torus. So the third cycle, the third torus is a rigid cycle, and there are O1 instantons on top of it. One can compute the spectrum and check that it corresponds to a O1 instanton, and then has well several stacks of fractional brains. So there are two stacks of two brains with two different jump pattern chart. Station model two. This gives a U2 to the 4 gate group. And then in order to satisfy tadpole conditions, one has to ask also stacks of non-magnetized benign brains. And D5 brains wrapping the first torus, and this in general will lead to a maximal gauge group USP 4 to the 4. So in the, well, the quiver can be drawn fast, just for this part here, just U2. And there will be bifundamentals and anti bifundamentals between every node. And these fields will parameterize the recombination of these four stacks of fractional brains into a single bulk brain, basically the breaking of this U2 to the 4 to the diagonal part. This in the field theory will be achieved by giving a bed to this kind of operator, which will become part of the recombination of the adjoint modulus of the recombined brain. Okay, so apart from these fields, one can check that there are antisymmetric fields of each of these U2 gauge groups in the spectrum. So the superpotential is basically there are 56 of them. The open string moduli of the D9 brain and the D5 brain, the positions and Wilson line moduli. The complex structure, antisymmetric. Yes. Factors. So in this model, the number of fields which couple to the linear fields is.
What are your AIs?
These are antisymmetric fields in the antisymmetric representation of U2. So here I have antisymmetrics, antisymmetrics, and antisymmetrics.
And your one instant of these, whether
it's
lambda
modes
or eta modes,
right? Yeah, well, here I have already integrated, but my instanton would be here. Mm-hmm. And, well, this model was first presented, I must say, by Carlo.
Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe you should just go and analyze the results.
Basically, there is. Well, the structure is 1-0 mode, well, 2-0 modes, so as we were saying, no? This eta 1 and eta 2 for each factor. No? So there will be a Yukawa here. There are different also choices for the jump pattern of the instanton. So each jump pattern choice will correspond to a Yukawa in each of the. So yeah, after integrating over the zero modes, one basically gets this superpotential when this function is now explicitly computed as before. And well, one thing of this particular model is that the number of fields which couple to the linear fields, to antisymmetric fields, is smaller than the number of antisymmetric. So in principle, one would say, okay, then supersymmetry will be broken. The ground condition is satisfied, so supersymmetry will be broken. But this is not the case, because there are these functions are precisely non-generic in the sense that there are strong correlations in the zeros of these functions. And when one looks to the zeros, to the supersymmetric Minkowski minima of these functions, one sees that basically what happens is that the four D5 brains in the second torus, or the D9 brains in the second torus, get a potential, and each one moves on top of a different instanton. So they will generate extra zero modes, extra fermionic zero modes, and they cancel the contribution of the instanton at that point of the moduli space to the superpotential. This thing is zero, and the full instanton superpotential at that point of the moduli space is zero.
You can see that from your actual calculation of these f functions now.
Mm-hmm.
So you're tracing this xi value, and what value these things become zero of xi, and xi correspond to sitting.
Exactly. So you can now read from this function. So these are moduli of the configuration with a geometric description in higher dimensional picture, are just the positions of your brains and the Wilson line moduli of your brains. And so looking at the zeros, you can see how your brains will move in the internal space, will readapt in order to make the instanton contribution to vanish, to cancel, and restore supersymmetry. But when you do that, these fields, from the field theory point of view, are breaking also the gauge symmetry. You are, for instance, this gauge group I was giving here, maximal gauge group, is no longer consistent at the non-perturbative level, because this is when all the D5 brains and D9 brains sit on top of each other. But now, due to the linear term, in order to restore supersymmetry, each of these brains will move to a different singularity. And therefore, this group will be broken. To the 8. So in this model, this is enough to achieve a zero for all the terms of the antisymmetrics. These fields, therefore, in the minimum, doesn't get a potential. It's a flat direction. But departuring slightly one of the instanton from the singularity, also the recombination moduli gets a potential. And basically, the potential is such that the brains tend to move to a symmetric position with respect to the singularities, because you can interpret this function as a force which the singularities are ejecting over the physical D brains. So the D brains tend to sit points which are equidistant to all the singularities, so that the force which each singularity ejects over its D brain is balanced. Well, there are other models without. I will not present.
What is the upshot?
Yeah.
What is the upshot?
The upshot will be.
You can go back to supersymmetric Minkowski vacuum.
Yeah, and all this.
And that this phi Bononi term does not cause Susie breaking effects.
In this class of models, I'm not saying this is general. In this class of models, in toroidal models, at least this is the scan that we did. In all models, supersymmetry was restored. So this kind of terms still is interesting in this kind of models, because they lead to this kind of non-trivial dynamics for the gauge sector, which can be useful for different applications, like as I was saying at the beginning, not the brain inflation, things like that, or just gauge symmetry breaking, no? But yeah, in that class of toroidal models that we look, these kind of superpotentials, they induce gauge symmetry breaking rather than supersymmetry breaking. You would need something like, more generically, what you need is that this prefactor here, this function here, which is related to some section, some line bundle, no, of the device that would connect the instanton to the D-brain, to have something like a bump so that the brain can be stuck at one of these points. This doesn't happen in toroidal models. In toroidal models, this is basically related to the Green function of in toroidal models is just like this or with several fields, right? But always they don't have this kind of things. In more complex manifolds, the Galabian manifolds and so on, I don't see any reason. So one interesting direction, I think, I don't know how easy can be, would be try to understand how generic are these kind of Green functions in Calabi-Yau models. They can arise, and that's the. But still, well, I find that these kind of effects are quite interesting, even in toroidal models, even if they don't break supersymmetry for well, this kind of dynamics, which has not been much explored until now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you found the zeros of Fs, like, or one, you know, understood the dynamics for this open string module, like, stabilized, right? How will it move? And due to these events, but derivatives of this F, what is derivative of the F? Is it zero or is not zero?
Derivative of F is zero, so yeah.
It's also zero at this point where F is zero?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. They are. These are just really minimal of the F. It's not that it was something like that, no. It's really minimal of F. They are really zero and minima.
Well, yeah, by definition, but it's also supersymmetric. Mm-hmm. Also,
yeah.
When you look at the F term for this derivatives of F with respect to other modules,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there like a complete square or something that makes the minimum zero?
No. Well, it's difficult to say if you can express it in that way. These are like these functions are like a sum of products of theta functions. It's positive, definitely.
Positive.
I mean, you have there in the F term. The plot is something like some combination of theta functions with the size enter as the new parameter and from the structure. You have something like that.
It's clear. If you don't have zeros at the same point, then it's not consistent. Derivatives of that should be also zero.
Yeah, yeah,
it's not consistent.
And you can plot the full F term and basically see the plots. Also, one check that we perform of all these expressions is that, well, first of all, they are holomorphic for the superpotential, but also they satisfy all the periodicity conditions that you should expect, right? Because these are D-brain moduli. When you move the brain around the torus, you should be back to the same point up to Gates transformations. So all these kind of checks, these functions are satisfying. No? They are periodic with the lattice of the torus and so on. So.
Yeah, okay, so
that's all I wanted to say.